so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
How many of you know that everything that we face, God's already addressed in this book? This is the manual created and given to us by the person that created us. And so today, I'm going to share a message that Pastor Eugene asked me to share. And the message is called Single and Satisfied. Single and Satisfied. Now, before I get very far into my message, let me just tell you, I know every married couple, how many of you are married? Okay, how many of you had this conversation? Well, if you ever die, what are you going to do? Well, I would never remarry. No one could ever. How many of you ever had that conversation? Raise your hand. So let me just say this with you. I've had that conversation with my wife, and she always says to me, honey, if anything ever happened to you, I could never, ever, ever remarry. Now, she's not here, so I'm going to tell y'all, that's a lie. That woman loves being nurtured, cherished, worshiped, and adored, okay? And so my job is to make sure that there's so much of that that I make the next person that follows me his job impossible, okay? So really, but I tell her a bit of what my spiritual father always pastored, the man who led me to Christ when I was 14. He's like my daddy. I call him my daddy. It's a white pastor who came to the Mexican ghetto of Houston and led me to Christ in a school just like this. And so he raised me for the next 10 years. He always pastored with his father-in-law, who was about 25 or 30 years older, and he started churches horse and buggy. Like when it rained, people from the farms couldn't come in and go to church. And I always called him Pawpaw Weathers. Well, he was married, Pawpaw Weathers was married to a lady whose name was Juanita. And she took care of him so well. And I remember just hearing her say 100 times, his first name was Hardy. I never called him that. She did. She said, Hardy, let me tell you something. If I ever die, you better pick up somebody on the way home from the funeral to marry. Because God knows you need somebody to take care of you. Now, I want to just say this. I don't think I'm helpless. I mean, I'm pretty self-secure. But I'm going to tell you this. If something happens to my wife, I'm getting married. All right? I mean, I told her that I'm getting married. I love being married. How many of you love being married? Okay, if you're married, please raise your hand. Pastor Eugene is out. Nobody can do the counseling this week. Okay. I love being married. I love everything about being married. I love waking up in the morning and getting up early and having my devotions and then getting coffee ready. That takes about 20 minutes because we grind the beans and then warm up the coffee cups in hot water. I love having coffee in the morning. I love walking with my wife. I love working out with her. I love romantic evenings. I love watching my children. I love seeing her exasperated answering their phone calls. I love being married. And when I was single, I loved being single. So today, I want to share something with you. Until you are single and satisfied, you can never be and satisfied. So while today the title of my message is Single and Satisfied, a lot of what I'm going to say today is directly towards people that are married. Directly towards people that are married. You see, there's a couple of different ways that we can go at this. We can go the world's way or we can go God's way. The world's way or God's way. Someone said, if you want to see what God wants to use, look at what the enemy is attacking. What has he attacked in our generation? The family and marriage. Why? Because it's the first thing that God instituted in the garden. So how do we do it God's way? How are we single and satisfied God's way? What is the purpose of singleness? Because you see, everyone started single by virtue of life, you may one day be single again, or you might be single now. So what's the purpose of singleness? To learn to love God and to love people. Say that with me. Love God. Love God, love people. I love what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says in the Phillips translation. Listen to what it says. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a consecrated to him and acceptable what? Okay, now watch this. Can I tell you this? If you can't give God your body and surrender it to him, you will never be able to surrender it to another person. And listen to what it goes on to say. And don't let the world around you, what? Squeeze you into its own mold. This is the way you do relationships. This is the way you learn about it. But let God, say it with me, remold your minds from what? So that you may be able to prove in practice that the plan of God for you is, it meets all of his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Can I tell you what the goal of singleness is? It's to learn to love God, love people, and be mature. To be mature. To grow up. Because if you can't take care of yourself, say it loud. If you can't take care of your, you can't take care of somebody else. So I'm going to give you my straight up marriage advice. And I've only spoken to 4 or 5 million people about this subject. So here it is. The purpose of marriage is not to find someone who will give themselves to you forever. The purpose of marriage is for you to find someone that you want to die for so your marriage can live. The Bible says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. What did Christ do for the church? He left heaven. First thing he did. Secondly, he became a baby, helpless, independent. And you are dependent in marriage. Don't think you're not. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you're driving. I don't care what house you came from. When you leave your house and you and your wife aren't right, it's sickening. It's terrible. I know you men are sitting there like, I ain't saying anything. I know you're right. You know what I'm saying is true. It feels terrible. And so God's design for you and me is that we choose someone that we want to die for, so the degree of my death determines the life of my marriage. Before a marriage ever dies, there was 2 people that wouldn't. Before a marriage ever dies, 2 selfish people refuse to. In most cases, and there are some extenuating circumstances, but the goal is to be mature. So, how do you become Mr. or Mrs. Right instead of Mr. and Mrs. Right Now? You know what I mean, Mr. and Mrs. Right Now? Well, I've asked a friend to come, my friend Brian, to show us how in a few easy steps. One, you're like a dream come true. It's plain to see that you're the only one for me. And four, repeat steps 1, 2, 3. I make you fall in love. That's Pastor Jacob's Hits, Volume 2, the Spanish and English edition. So, Pastor, what do you mean? The world's way is follow steps 1 through 3. Here's step 1. Find the right person. If I could just find the right person. Let me get on it. Okay. ChristianMingo.com. DateAcajun.com. MarryAMexican.com. BlackPeopleMeet.com. Come on, let's name it what it really is. DesperatePeopleDesperate.com. Find the right person. These people are always sitting around going, if I could just find the right person. I mean, Opelousas isn't big enough. I got to go somewhere where I could find the right person. Here's the second thing they think. Then I got to make them fall in love with me. I could give them that gri-gri stare. I could wear those little skinny jeans I used to wear in high school. Stick a dime, so tight you could stick a dime in the back pocket and read the date on them. You remember them. Number three, then fully expect them to complete me and fulfill my every need, to be my endless love. Those are the world's ways. And if it goes wrong, repeat steps 1 through 3. Find another right person. Make them fall in love with you. And expect them to meet your every need. I was counseling a lady once who worked for Iberia Bank probably over 25 years ago. And she was leaving. She'd been married 5 times. And she was leaving the office at lunch. And somebody said, where are you going? She said, well, I'm going to a marriage counselor. And the person looked at her and said, well, when you get there, don't tell them you made 5 mistakes. Tell them you made the same mistake 5 times. She kept repeating steps 1 through 3. If I could just find the right person and then make them fall in love with me and let them fulfill every one of my needs. Well, that didn't work. Let me find the right person. So how can I go from doing it the world's way to doing it God's way, the biblical way? Here's number one. Become the right person. Not find the right person. Say it with me. Become the right person. Many of you know this passage very well. I share it every time I do a wedding. God creates the world, he says it's good. He creates the animals, he says it's good. He creates the trees, he says it's good. He creates man, and he says it's not good. It's not good that man should be. And so it says, so God put man to sleep, and from man's rib, or He took, from man, he took a rib and he formed it into a woman and he brought her to the man. And Adam looked at her and said, this is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken out of a man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. Do you know when shame came? At the fall of man. Sin brought fear and guilt and shame. Do you know what destroys relationships? Fear and guilt and shame. Do you know what the greatest desire is of any human being? Look at me. I don't care if you believe in God or don't believe in God. I don't care if you're Protestant or Catholic, brown or white. It doesn't matter. The greatest yearning desire of every human being is to be fully known by another human being and they're not embarrassed or ashamed of you. Many of you are married and been married for years, and you're still not naked and unashamed before your mate. They don't know the worst of you. You know what's so wonderful about God? Is that God is the only one that knows everything about me, and he's still the one that loves me the most. Come on. Why? The greatest yearning desire of any human being is for somebody else to truly know them. And for them not to be naked and unashamed before them. But before Adam would ever be naked and unashamed before Eve, he was naked and unashamed before God. Because if you can't be naked and unashamed before him, then you will never be naked and unashamed before someone else. You're not waiting. You're becoming the right person. By loving God so that I can learn to love someone else. Mark 12, 30 and 31 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your who? As? There is no other commandment greater than these. Do you know what that means? Look right here. That means a lot of your neighbors are in trouble. Because if you don't love you, you will never learn to love somebody else. People go, well, I didn't know that I should love me. God loves you so much, He gave His Son to die for you. You must be pretty valuable. Look at me. If you don't love you, then you'll accept people in your life that don't love you. If you don't respect you, but let me use a different word for love. If you don't respect you, other people won't respect you. If you don't honor you, other people won't honor you. If you don't care for you, other people won't care for you. You know what I love about Pastor Eugene? Me and him have a lot in common, and this is probably one of the main ones, outside of being tall, dark, and handsome, except he's not tall. Besides that, here it is. Pastor Eugene loves him some Pastor Eugene. How many believe Pastor Eugene loves Pastor Eugene? Can I tell you this? I love me some me. I love me. You know why I dress nice? I dress nice when I was in the hood. I iron my jeans. I iron my clothes. I've always ironed my clothes. When I had nothing, I couldn't afford the cleaners, I'd iron them. That's a ghetto cleaners. I have respect for myself. I honor myself. Why? I am a child of the Most High God. You see, if he's the king, then I'm a prince. If he's the king, then you're a princess. Look right here. Can I tell you why most people struggle in their lives? Is they have no clue how much God loves them, or they would love themselves a whole lot more. I hate to see people give up on themselves. They just let themselves go. It didn't matter what I look like. It didn't matter what I talk. It didn't matter whether I'm working out or not, eating right or not, taking care of myself, speaking kind, the kind of car that I drive, how I drive it, if my car's clean, if my house is clean, if my yard. When we got this building here, the first thing y'all did is y'all painted all the bathrooms, put partitions up and all. Do you know that most of those things have been ripped down? Do you know why? Because the students that are here have never been taught how much God loves them, so they can learn how to love themselves, so they can not only respect themselves, but everything else that they touch. I was raised in the hood, I know. I was raised in the black ghetto of Houston until I found I wasn't black and moved to the Mexican ghetto of Houston. That is why we destroyed everything, because it's exactly what we felt like on the inside. I am created. You are created in the image of God, and you better start learning how to love yourself, or you'll never be able to love another person. Loving God shows me how to love myself so I can love others and believe that I'm worthy of being loved. Lou Holtz, the great football coach, said this: you can succeed if others don't believe in you, but you can't succeed if you don't believe in yourself. God believes in you. He believes in you. Jesus was saying, you will never succeed in relationships if you don't succeed in loving yourself first. You are worthy of love. But guess what? If you are, then so are others created in the image of God, regardless of what other people say, regardless of their education, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their economics, regardless of where they live, regardless of what they drive. They were created in the image of God just like you. They deserve to be loved too. Many people of color often have issues with people that are pro-life. Do you know why? Because they're only pro-life when it comes to the womb. Not only are unborn children valuable in the eyes of God, every child born is valuable in the eyes of God. From the womb to the tomb, they're valuable. Is that okay? You know, it really doesn't even matter if you don't think it's okay. You know I'm still going to say it. Jesus is simply saying you're going to never succeed in relationships unless you're successful in loving yourself. Humility is knowing who you are and who it came from and being thankful for it. So, Pastor, how can I become the right person versus find the right person? Here's how you become the right person. Number one, you become the right person in your faith. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The first thing you know, the first you're going to be, when you recognize the person is God is your priority. God is their priority. Here's the second one. In their friendships, make God's friends your friends. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, storms are going to come whether you build on the sand or whether you build on the rock. All of us need anchors in our life. It didn't mean you came from a great family background. When I came and I met Michelle's family, her family's all founding families of Lafayette, all business owners. I was a 19-year-old kid. My mama was a barmaid. My daddy had been married 5 times. My mama 2 times. All my sisters pregnant, 13, 14, and 15. What did I have to offer? Barely graduated from high school. Well, what did I have to offer? When I came to Christ, I made Jesus my life, and I made the house of God my people, and I made God's friends my friends, and God's family my family. Maybe you didn't get that at birth. You can get it at your rebirth when you're born again, right here in the house of God. Make God's friends your friends. Here's number three. Become the right person in your finances. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rules over the poor, and the bar is a servant to the lender. Look at me. Don't you marry somebody who's a slave to debt so they can enslave you with them. Don't marry someone who's a slave to debt. If they don't know how to handle a credit card, what are they going to do with your heart? What are they going to do with your heart? Here's the next thing. Walk in love versus fall in love. I'm always interested in hearing people say that. You know, what happened to me? I just fell in love. Like you were walking down the street. And like there was a hole and you didn't see it. It's like, ah! What happened? They fell in love. If you fall in love, you can fall out of love. You don't fall in love. If you fall in love, that means your emotions are driving your life. And if your emotions drove you in it, then your emotions will drive you out of it. Emotions will drive you out of it. Walk in love. This is a scripture I share with my children, my boys, all the time. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I what? Put away child. Listen, you know what determines whether you're a man or a woman? Not your age or your size, what you put away. If the most important thing to you is how fine your car is, listen, I know folks in River Ranch, they're doing the same thing, except it's not the car. They get a little work. If I can get this pumped up and that pumped up and this pulled out, and I mean, all of these different things, they're just trying to change it from their car to this car. And the more money you put in it, the more valuable they think it is. When in reality, none of that is true. Put away childish things. Here's number three. Set your affections versus follow your affections. Set your affections. How many of you know people that are always getting in bad relationships? Raise your hand. And here's what they say. I don't know why. Why do I always find bad people? Why do I always date bad people? Why? Why can't I find good people? There's no good men out there. All men are nasty and funky. All men. How many of you know people like that? I want to give you a news flash for them. Are you ready? Yes. Are you ready? Yes. You don't attract who you want. You attract who you are. don't attract who you want. You attract who you are. And if you're always attracting stupid people, number four, if these three things don't work, repeat steps 1 through 3. Become the right person. Walk in love and set your affections, because you're not waiting for anybody. You're maturing for God's best. So, Pastor, how do I know if someone is Mr. or Mrs. Right? I'm going to give you 8 things in the last 5 minutes. Strap in and hold on. Here they come. How do I know if someone is Mr. or Mrs. Right? Are you ready? Number one, they have a job. God gave Adam a job naming animals. He had a job before he had a wife. Look at him. If you don't have a J-O-B, then please don't call M-E. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife, and he made sure that he was a good steward over what he gave him before he gave him something else. Okay, number two, they understand their biblical role in marriage. Now, here we go. Here it comes. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, they understand that you marry someone so that you can lay your life down for them and die for them. If you're a woman, you understand you are marrying someone who you will follow. Big S word, submit. Pastor, you don't know men. Men are stupid. Well, can I give you the actual science? Women mature faster than men. That's the science. So what that means is women are smarter than men. Come on, early Mother's Day gift. Then you say, Pastor, why in the world would God make a woman submit since she's smarter to a man that's stupider than she is? You get to choose which idiot you follow for the rest of your life. And if you didn't choose better, who's stupid? Listen, if you want to do life God's way, listen, women are smarter than men. That's why the humor of God is a woman submitting to a man means she must be submitted to God, and so must he. They understand the biblical role. Number three, you want to marry someone who you want their children to be like. You want your children to be like a pastor. I don't want my child to be nothing like him. My mother used to look at me and she would get mad. She was always arguing with my daddy before they got divorced. And she'd say, you know, she'd look at me when she got mad. She goes, you're just like your daddy. I go, Mama, who you want me to be like, the mailman? I mean, hey. The first biblical principle is go and reproduce after your own kind. And if you don't like him or you don't like her, why are you reproducing them? I'm preaching a lot better than y'all are responding today, but that's all right. I'm telling on y'all. I'm telling Pastor Eugene. They're who I want my children to be like. Number four, they make me a better person. God gave Adam a helpmate, H-E-L-P, not a H-E-L-L or a J-A-I-L. Come on. Those of you who went to school in Ville Platte, that's jail. J-O-H. Hey, everybody from Opelousas High School went, yeah. You got a GED, quit lying. They make me a better person. Do you know how you can tell when someone starts seeing somebody? When they start seeing somebody and all of a sudden they start working harder, they start dressing better, they start trying to do better, that's a helpmate. When all of a sudden they're sad, they're discouraged, they're broke, that's a hellmate. They're who I want my children to be like. They make me a better person. Number five, their influence draws me closer to God. And not because you got to pray every time you're with them. Their influence draws me closer to God because they are godly. They're godly, so it draws me closer to God. Number six, they are surrounded with healthy people. They surrounded themselves with healthy people. Listen, this isn't rocket science. Okay, if someone tries to invite you to invest your money in retirement in them and they're broke and everybody they're with is broke, when someone asks you to give your life to them, their life, they better have some people in their life that knows how the movie ends and they're going, that's what I want to be like. I want to be those old people walking through the mall in them off-brand tennis shoes, holding hands. Their influence draws me closer to God. They're surrounded with help. Number seven, they are not someone I can just live with. They're someone I can't live without. And let me say this, by the way. If you're here and living with somebody, get right. That's not God's best and it's not God's way. It's not what you want your own children to do. Well, Pastor, I don't have the money. We'll marry you for free. When I want a big wedding, I'd rather you go to heaven than have a big wedding. I'd rather your children be proud they got a last name. They could say daddy, not my mama's daddy, some, you know, Uncle Fred. Number eight, they love God more than they love me. Now I want you to listen very carefully. We live in a wicked, vile, perverse world. How many of you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? At the end of Sodom and Gomorrah, angels came to Lot's house, and the men of the community started beating on the door. They were homosexuals and said, "Send the angels out so we can have sex with them." When I was a young child, anybody here north of 50, raise your hand. I love you. Thank you. Do you remember if you wanted to see something, some bad book or something, you went down to 7-Eleven? Okay, it was in a brown paper bag. How many remember that? It was in a brown paper bag behind the counter. You had to get one of your buddies to go, "I think I hurt my leg." The clerk would look over there and you'd sneak out there and put it behind your back and just walk out. And you and your buddies would get a six-pack and convulge upon that one Playboy and act like you were really partying. You had to pursue evil. Today, evil is beating at the door of your TV, of your phone, of your computer, at your job. It's beating on the door just like it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at me. There isn't a love for a man or a woman that's strong enough to keep you pure. You better love God. Only He knows what's in my mind and my heart. Only He can keep me pure and clean. Only He can keep me right. And when I mess up, get me right. He's the only one. Very simply stated to every married couple here, the only one who will never leave me or forsake me, that will always love me, knowing the best and the worst about me, It's God. It's God. It's God. And until I'm satisfied with Him, no other human being can satisfy me. Michelle and I have been married 37 years. It's a miracle. Only person in my family for three generations to be faithfully married to one woman. I love her deeply, but it's not my love for her that's kept me pure. Because my mind and heart haven't always been pure. But it's my love for Him. And though we have a great relationship and great romance, and we just came back from 9 days of vacation, and Kenny G was playing loud, and Brian McKnight was right. But look at me. The only one that can satisfy the deepest yearnings of my heart is God Himself. Michelle's a phenomenal wife, a phenomenal mother. But she's a terrible God. Only He knows everything in my heart and loves me and will never leave me or forsake me. Only He can make me valued, loved, and significant so that I even know how other people are to treat me based upon the way He treats me. Only He can. Only He can. Take that burden off of your mate. They can't do that. They can't be romantic enough with you to give you value if you don't know that God loves you and that you're esteemed by Him. They can't give you enough words of affirmation or hug you or kiss you enough or give you enough. It doesn't matter if you live in the hood or if you live in River Ranch. There's more broken relationships there. I spend more time counseling broken people from there who have everything in the world to live with and nothing to live for. It's Him. If you're married, I want you to take your mate by the hand right now. Heavenly Father, I pray for every marriage here right now. These precious people that You love, that You love. That You love. The enemy hates this. He hates this. That's why he fights against it every way that he can, from the computers to the phone to temptation to conversation. He hates it. Your word declares that the gates of hell would not prevail against Your church. Don't let the gates of hell prevail against these marriages, Father. Holy Spirit, come and sanctify them. Holy Spirit, Lord, create an altar in every couple that's holding hands right now in each of their hearts where You alone rest and rule as King. Jesus, 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 restore every broken, fractured relationship. Let them begin a road to recovery, a change of direction. It's going to be a journey, but help that journey begin by them turning in the right direction today. I pray for every single person that's here, Lord. Those that have thought, if I could just find the right person, Lord, I pray that today You begin to bring them to a place of maturity, that You are gracing them and calling them and growing them to become the right person by loving You with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. By believing that You truly love them, knowing the best and the worst about them, You love them and lavish them. That You joy over them like they do their own children, knowing the best and the worst. And now with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Jesus said, unless a man or woman was born again, they wouldn't see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, unless a man or woman was born again, they wouldn't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then He said, don't be surprised that I tell you, you must be born again. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I'm going to ask right now. Nobody else to move around. Most important part of the service. You're going to say, Pastor, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But if Jesus said that I have to be born again to go into the kingdom of heaven, to see the kingdom of heaven, I don't know if I've been born again. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I've been Christian or baptized. I've joined the church. But I don't know that I've ever been born again. What does that mean? Well, my birthday is June the 17th, but my spiritual birthday is the week before Easter, 1971, when I prayed with an African-American counselor in a school just like this, a public school, to be born again. That day became my spiritual birthday. I've had good days spiritually and bad days spiritually since that day, but I've never been the same. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus, but I've never prayed to be born again. Maybe I've been Christian, baptized, or joined the church, but I've never prayed to be born again. It only happens once, just like the day you were born. Pastor, today I want to do that. How can I? A, admit that you're a sinner and sin separates you from God. B, believe that Jesus Christ became your sin bearer, and on the cross he died for your sins so you wouldn't have to die because of your sins. C, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior as you turn away from sin to be born again. Those things can happen right at your seat today in a simple prayer. Today can be your spiritual birthday. Today you can be born again. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm the only one looking. If you're here and you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've never prayed to be born again. It only happens once, just like the day you were born. But today I want to be my spiritual birthday. I don't want to leave here without knowing if I die, the next face I see will be the face of Jesus. And if I live, God will fulfill his plan and purpose through my life. Pastor, would you pray for me? Your head's bowed, your eyes closed. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again today. Come on, raise it high. I want to see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep it high. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. From the balcony, 11, 12. Anywhere else, 13. Anywhere else? Okay, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, last 10 seconds, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, was these 13, but I should have. My heart's about to beat out of my chest. I know this is what I need. I know God's talking to me today. I've never prayed to be born again. Today's my day. If you already raised your hand, don't raise it again. But if you didn't, I'm asking you this last time. Raise it and wave it at me and join these 13. Wave it at me. 13, 14, 15, 16, anywhere else? 17, all right? Now, church, put your hands down. Now, let's pray out loud, church, together with all of these that raise their hand. We're going to join you in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my guilt, my sin, and my shame, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from sin to be born again. Today, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Come on loud. And I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me and let's give all those a hand that raise their hand to be born again today. Come on, give them a big hand.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.